And we just read the passage of Scripture that ties that song right in to the message. And certainly we would have to say that the fact that we are Americans today, how great thou art, how great America is because of how great God is. And God has blessed our nation. That's the title of the message, Our Blessed Nation. Our blessed nation. God has blessed us so much as a nation. And in Psalm 33, verses 1 to 12, it talks about that, then ending it with, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. This nation is still the greatest country on the face of the earth. There is none that even comes close to America. And it is because God has blessed America. Don't miss that. Don't let the liberals and the naysayers take that away from you. America is great because our God is great and God has blessed America. And there is no other reason. As we read the passage, God has given us, verse 4, for the word of the Lord is right and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. God made our nation. You think about the map of the United States of America, you understand every curve God put it in there. Florida and how it juts out, that's God made that just like he made it. God carved out the Gulf of Mexico. God knew exactly what he was doing. He put it all together, every little part, every river that flows through, God made it. It says in verse 7, he gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Today, as you drive down the drive and you see the flags and you see all the red, white, and blue and you hear the fireworks at midnight and it keeps you awake and all that and you celebrate the birth of a nation, understand, we should be in awe of him. He is the one that gave us this wonderful country. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. Oh, many have tried to destroy our country. Many have done what they can to stop what is America. But the Lord has allowed us to have this wonderful, wonderful country. And it says, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for our country. Thank you for giving us this country. Thank you for those that have paid the price so we could have this country. And I do pray that you'll help us to be thankful and help us, Lord, to think about America and the wonderful, wonderful opportunities that we still have here in America. And speak to our hearts today, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. 238 years ago, the Declaration of Independence was signed. And we certainly, the price that was paid by those who signed that declaration, it's not something to just take lightly. It's not something that we should just sort of pass over. The price has been paid year after year after year to be Americans, to be free, to have the country that we have, to stand for the righteousness that the Bible says in verse 5, the Lord loves. He loves righteousness and judgment. To stand for that, to keep our country going in that direction. We have certainly, people have paid the price. And you know, you and I, we may have to pay that price. We may have to pay some price as we continue to want our country to keep going the way that God has intended it and the way that it has in the past. And I want to just give you some points here this morning to just kind of think about our blessed nation. Our blessed nation. Number one, we see the past. And in the past, we see our omnipotent help. The past, our omnipotent help. Again, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Now, I understand, you know, I realize it's not politically correct to even say God's name. It's not politically correct to talk about God. But that's our history. That is our past. Our past is God. Our past is a nation that was founded so people could worship God. Look, folks, our history books at Berean Baptist Academy still tell the truth. We're not trying to hide anything. We want the truth to be known. Hey, America is though it is not a Christian nation, it's founded on Bible principle and the Word of God, and certainly it was founded, and people came so they could worship God. And so God's Word and the principles of God's Word could be the birth of a nation. And we see that, obviously, and we're going to talk about that. But God has helped. God has put this country together. All the beauty of America, God gave us that. The mountains, the coasts, the farmland. I'm always amazed at people that, well, I don't believe in God, but I love to look at the mountains. You know, I don't believe in God, but I love to look at the ocean. I don't believe in God, but oh, I love the blue sky. You know, and all the, who in the world do you think gave us that? Who do you think provided that? Well, you know, I don't believe in God, but I love the amber waves of grain. Well, who do you think gave the amber waves of grain? Again, God has provided us with the farmland. God has provided us with the forests and the beauty and the coastline, all the coastline of America. You know, and we were talking about that in our Revelation class. And you know, again, he's been our omnipotent help all along. The resources that we have, you know, every mineral is here in America. Every mineral that is needed. Yes, we have oil here. You know, you'd never think that by all the political stuff that goes on. But God provided America with oil. God provided America with coal. God provided America with steel. How do you think it came? How do you think it was here? God put it here. God put the wood here. God put the land here for farming. God gave us animals. God has given us a wonderful country. God has helped us to have this wonderful country. Don't walk around and say, wow, you know, look what man did. Man didn't put the mountains where the mountains are. Man didn't put the coastline where the coastline is. Man didn't put the oceans where they are. Man didn't put the rivers where they are. No, God provided us with this beautiful and wonderful country, our omnipotent help. Even our government is based on Bible principle. I mean, our government, verse 10, the Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. There's been device after device after device that has been set in motion to try to destroy this country. Communism is out to destroy this country. Humanism, which leads to communism. I mean, all of those things are out to destroy what we have in America. Why is it people from South America are trying to get here? Why is it people from Cuba are setting forth in little homemade rafts trying to sail that little distance to Florida and obviously illegally trying to cross it? Why are they trying to come here? Why is it that people in Mexico are trying to cross the Rio Grande River and trying to come into America? Why? Why is it that down by California and San Diego, people are trying so hard to get into America? Oh, listen to me. It's because of what we have here. I'm amazed when somebody gripes and complains about America because we are still, it's the greatest country in all the world. And praise the Lord. And our government is based, again, it's the council, verse 11, the council of the Lord standeth forever. As long as we're living by the principles of the Word of God. And for years, America's government has it was set up to do that. You can't go wrong. You just can't go wrong. Do you understand in the last several hundred years, every large nation, their government has changed and just keeps changing. Why? Because they can't find the right way. Because it all starts with Bible. It all starts with Bible principles. And ours is protected by the counsel, as long as we stick with the counsel of the Lord. We have freedom of speech. But that's under attack today. Big time. We have a very, very loud minority that wants to call what I'm doing right now, they want to call that preaching, they want to call that hate speech. Well, I mean, do you understand? That's how our country, that's the way it used to be all the time. It was just preaching, preaching, preaching. How did all those cities become bigger cities and towns? It was the gospel of the Lord that was spread, and preaching was uniting people. Preaching and churches were uniting people, and they became towns and became cities. And, you know, that's under attack today. I mean, the messages that were preached in those days, well, today that'd be hate speech. Can't preach that kind of stuff. You know, we have freedom to succeed in America. I still, anybody can succeed. And well, what about the poor? Hey, you don't have to be poor in America. Now, the Bible says the poor you have with you always. There's always going to be poor folks. But the truth of the matter is, if you would just study the presidents of the United States, you'd be amazed how many of them were poor. Abraham Lincoln was a poor man. He was the son of a wretchedly poor farmer in Kentucky. Lived in a log cabin until he was 21 years old. He had very little, but he became president of the United States. John Adams, Andrew Jackson, James Polk, Millard Fillmore, James Buchanan, Andrew Johnson, Ulysses S. Grant, James Garfield was born in a log cabin. He worked on the farm until he was strong enough to use carpenter's tools and he learned the trade. Grover Cleveland, they were all poor. These were poor people who became president of the United States. Are you listening? I mean, think about that. And you can go out there, you can get a job, you can work and work. By the way, do you know why a lot of people are poor? They don't want to work. That's why a lot of people. Now, again, there are some, you know, circumstances in that. But in America, you can get a job. You can go out and get a job. Now, you know, again, I understand politics of the day are making it where, why would I get a job? I can make more sitting at home on welfare. In many cases, that's true. Amen. It's sad too, isn't it? Because that drive of the old days, that drive that, hey, if my family's going to eat, I've got to work. That drive that I may have to work two jobs. How many of you have ever worked two jobs at once? Yeah, many of us have. Yeah, why? Just to make it. Just to pay the bills. Just to try to get ahead. Just try to have that, to be able to buy a house and have that little picket fence. You can do it. You can do it. You may start out at McDonald's. You may start out delivering newspapers. Amen. And you do your best, and you see a little ad that says another route is open. Oh, man, I've got to get that route. And then you see another ad that says another route's open. Oh, I got to get that route. You know, and you're excited. Why? Because it's a chance to succeed. You can in America. You can in America. We have still freedom of religion, which is amazing. Honestly, if you read some of the things that the news that's not told by the national news, you would find out that Christians are being persecuted in so many countries today. I'm talking about church services where they're having a church service, and by the end of the service, the enemy has come in. Those that hate Christianity, they've killed people, and they've totally demolished the building that the people built. And nobody says or does a thing about it. Can you imagine? But we can meet. We can meet. I mean, oh, we've had to suffer down here in the fellowship hall these past 4 months, right? Oh, how sad and how difficult. And yet I feel air conditioning. And in the winter, I felt the heat. And these are pretty comfortable seats up here in the front. Actually, the plastic seats would be very comfortable on a lot of our mission fields. Seats with backs, they'd love to have seats with backs. Yeah. Do you know that so many Christians in the world, they sit on a bench and they sit and listen to preaching for hours. And they walk to church and they walk home from church and because there's persecution or poverty or both. A Baptist preacher, Roger Williams, founded Providence, Rhode Island. And in the Rhode Island Constitution, he said, every man should be free to worship God according to the dictates of his own heart. Thomas Jefferson used that same principle in the United States Constitution, where he wrote about the separation of church and state. You hear a lot about that in the news, but nobody tells what it really means. Oh, you know, separation of church and state, separation of church. All that means is that the state cannot tell you that you have to worship this way. That's what it means. It doesn't mean that we can't vote. It doesn't mean we're supposed to be silent. It doesn't mean that Christians are second-class citizens. That's never the way it was intended. It means that the state can't tell us what to do. It means the state can't come in and say, you can't preach the Bible. That's exactly what it means. And that has been blown totally out of proportion. No, we're free to worship our God. And others are free to worship their God as well in America. But the key, of course, goes back to our text in Psalm 33 and verse 12, where it says, blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord. There cannot be any mistaking of that. It's whose God, big G, is the Lord. That is the nation that God is going to bless. And that's who made the beauty. That's who gave us all the resources. That's who gives us the opportunity. It's the people, it says in verse 12, it says that the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Now, I know that's talking about Israel, but it's not just Israel. It's those whose God is the Lord. It's those who trusted Christ, those who were saved, those who were born again. And for many, many years, that was a huge amount of people in America. And God blessed America. It's his own inheritance. We, us, saved people, we who are his children, he's going to bless as long as that's our nation. He's going to bless. Do you understand? We are the only large nation. Now, some might dispute this, but we're the only large nation that's never lost a war. Why? Because God has blessed America. Someone said this, I love this quote, I've given it before. Spaniards came here for gold, the French came for gain, but the original colonists came for God. And God saw that, and God blessed America. God has blessed. Do you understand? There was a church at the center of every new settlement when America was established by the pilgrims and the colonists, the original colonists. The pilgrims landed and they knelt and they thanked God. When's the last time you knelt and you thanked God for the country that he's given us? That's what they did. You see, America's God has been the Lord. It was established that way. It was founded that way. And I understand, you know, so many, they're getting cheated out of the true history of our country. Because nobody wants, well, we can't use the name of God, so we can't. Do you understand that so much of our history is God? The Constitution, let me read this. The founders of the American Republic were men who possessed a great faith in God and the Bible. When the representatives of 13 colonies met in Philadelphia to frame the Constitution, they engaged in 3 weeks of fruitless wrangling. When it looked as though the meeting might break up in confusion, Benjamin Franklin arose to say this, Mr. President, I perceive we're not in a position to pursue this business any further. Our blood is too hot. I therefore move you, sir, that we separate for 3 days, during which time with conciliatory spirit we talk with both parties. If we ever make a constitution, it must be the work of a compromise, and while I am on my feet, I move you, sir, and I am astonished that it has not been done before, for when we signed the Declaration of Independence, we had a chaplain to read the Bible and to pray daily. And I now move that when we meet again, we have a chaplain to meet with us and invoke the blessing of heaven. That's our Constitution, folks. For, sir, it has been wisely written, except the Lord build the city, they labor in vain who build it. And if it be true that a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, surely a nation cannot rise without his aid. That's our Constitution. That's how it all came together, because men said, shouldn't we pray? You know what they're saying today? They're saying, we're not allowed to pray. You know what they're saying to our children in our schools? They're saying, you can't pray. That's separation of church and state. They don't get it. Oh, they get it. But they're against it. That's our history, folks. George Washington's face, after this, George Washington's face beamed with joy as he arose to second the motion. And with their minds energized by prayer, these men, after 3 days, prepared what Gladstone and many others called the greatest document ever struck from the brain of man. That's our Constitution. And how? Prayer. How? Reading the Bible. How? Walking with God. Folks, listen to me. You have to understand, the past of America, we see our omnipotent help. God has blessed America. Our pledge, one nation under God. One nation under God. By the way, they're trying to take that out. Can't use God. Can't say God. Whew. Our coins, in God we trust. Oh, people are mad about that. Can't have that. My country, 'tis of thee, often called our national hymn. What's it say? Last verse, our Father's God to thee, author of liberty, to thee we sing. To who? Thee. Who's he, who's thee? Our God. Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Holy light? Try to get by with that today. Protect us by thy might, great God our King. Great God our, who's our King? God. See what I'm saying? Again, that's, and for many, many years, that's what Americans knew. Boy, that's changed, hasn't it? How about, oh, beautiful for spacious skies? You know, every verse, God shed his grace on thee. That sounds like what we preach, doesn't it? Isn't that what we preach? God shed his grace on thee. How about this? God mend thine every flaw. Don't we preach that? Hey, God wants to change your life. I mean, that sounds like a Baptist church, doesn't it? That sounds like a Sunday night service. God, mend thine every flaw. Oh, but today we don't talk about flaws in any human beings at all. Because everybody just, they're born the way they are and it's not their fault. And then that third verse, may God thy gold refine. God. Last verse, God shed his grace on thee. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves. Whatever happened to thanking God for our country and recognizing that our past is all about God's omnipotent help, God's power, God's strength? It's America, and it's seen in America. You know, George Washington, in his first inaugural address, April 30th, 1789, here's what he said. We ought to be no less persuaded that the propitious smiles of heaven can never be expected on a nation that disregards the eternal rules of order and right which heaven itself has ordained. He could preach that on a Sunday morning right here at Berean Baptist Church. Can you imagine? The President of the United States, in his first address, saying, there's no way you could expect a nation to be blessed if they disregard God's rules of order. Can you imagine anybody saying that today, let alone a president? No way. Thomas Jefferson, our third president, delivered two inaugural addresses, both on March 4th of 1801 and then also 1805. In his first address, he said this, may that infinite power which rules the destinies of the universe lead our counsels to what is best. He could preach that right here. Amen? In his second address, he included this statement. He said, I shall need, too, the favor of that being in whose hands we are, who led our fathers as Israel of old. Man, that guy knows his Bible, doesn't he? As Israel of old from their native land and planted them in a country flowing with all the necessaries and comforts of life. You know, he's saying we're like Israel when they went to Canaan. He's saying that we as Americans, we're just like Israel. I mean, we escaped tyranny and we're in America now and we have God's blessing on us. You understand, president after president, with never a single exception, not only took their oath of office as a servant of God, but they enlarged the statement of faith in their inaugural address. Every president has included prayer in official function, and each in his own way has sought to follow the dictates of conscience and the Word of God as a worthy leader of faithful men and women. This is years and years and years. The preamble to every state constitution, this was written a while back, but it expresses gratitude to God and seeks His blessings. Lincoln's Gettysburg Address, 1863, hoped that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom. But again, he recognized something under God. That's what I'm talking to you about. The past, it's all about our omnipotent help. God has blessed America. The last verse of the Star-Spangled Banner, every now and then on a Wednesday night, we'll have a young person. We have song requests, and they'll want to sing the Star-Spangled Banner, and they say, can we sing the last verse? Oh, thus be it ever when freemen shall stand between their loved homes and the war's desolation. Blessed with victory and peace, may our heaven-rescued land praise the power that hath made and preserved us a nation. Then conquer we must when our cause it is just, and this be our motto, in God is our trust. And the Star-Spangled Banner in triumph shall wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave. In God is our trust. And when you look at that flag, in God is our trust. That's how it was meant to be. Exactly how it was meant to be. Many of you were around in 1968. Some of you think that's a long time ago. 65 years after the Wright brothers flew the first airplane at Kitty Hawk, three American astronauts, the crew of Apollo 8, they went 230,000 miles into space to lunar orbit. Man had taken voyages previously only written about in science fiction stories. He was entering the far reaches of the universe. Christmas Eve, 1968, 8:48 p.m. Central Time, astronauts James Lovell, William Anders, and Frank Borman stirred the hearts and minds of all the world as their voices rang up out from the depths of outer space. How many of you remember this? 1968. They try to imagine this. They looked at the Earth. Broadcast for everyone to hear. Borman said this, we are now approaching the lunar sunrise for all the people back on Earth. The crew of Apollo 8 has a message that we would like to send to you. Anders, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Lowell, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Borman, and God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and the dry land appear. And it was so. As they looked at the earth from outer space, and it was so. Can you imagine astronauts trying to say that today? Yeah. I'm not talking about a sinless country, never has been. People are, well, what about the Indians? What about this and what about that? You know, somehow I don't believe that the Christian people that love God and walk with God and were reading their Bible and praying, I don't believe they were out there killing a bunch of people. I can see him trying to win them to Christ. That's us. Amen. I don't want to kill anybody. Yeah. I'm not talking about a sinless country, but I am talking about a nation whose God is the Lord. A nation who over the years recognized it's Him. He's the one that gave us this nation, the past, our omnipotent help. Number two, we see the present, and I call this simply our overwhelming humanism. That's where we are today, folks. It's exactly where we are today. It is overwhelming humanism. Everywhere you look, everywhere that it's in our it's in TV, it's in books, now it's part of the history books. Humanism. What is humanism, people say? Well, I got several definitions, and not one of them's good. Not one of them. And yet it's what most people are learning. School, TV, Hollywood. It's all about humanism. It's overwhelming. Number one definition, a system of thought that rejects religious beliefs and centers on humans and their values, capacities, and worth. Here's another one. Under philosophy, the denial of any power or moral value superior to that of humanity. The rejection of religion in favor of a belief in the advancement of humanity by its own efforts. A philosophical position that stresses the autonomy of human reason in contradistinction to the authority of the church. Any system of thought or action in which human interests, values, and dignity predominate, especially an ethical theory that often rejects the importance of a belief in God. Any system or mode of thought or action in which human interests, values, and dignity are taken to be of primary importance, as in moral judgments. In other words, man can come up with what's best for man. You say, oh, that sounds right. And the only person that would say that sounds right is somebody who's been so influenced by humanism and they haven't read their Bible. So man's going to decide what's right? Isn't there a verse in the Bible that talks about that? There is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of what? Death. That's been tried long, long time ago. Why is America great? Because God. Not because of human. No way. No way in this world. You see, our overwhelming humanism, that's the present, that's the day we live in. Look at Isaiah 1 and verse 4, and I will hurry. Isaiah 1 and verse 4. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel into anger. They are gone away backward. Ah, sinful nation, he says. Yes, overwhelming humanism. A people that have chosen man's way over God's way. By the way, May 1919 in Dusseldorf, Germany, the Allied forces obtained a copy of some of the communist rules. And I don't have time to go through all of this, but some of the communist rules for revolution, things they would implant into nations to take over those nations. And communism is just a form of humanism. It ends up being that. What are they? Corrupt the young, get them away from religion. Boy, that's our day. Get control of all means of publicity. That's our day. Who runs the press? Not Christians. Get people's minds off their government by focusing their attention. Listen to me. This is before 1900 this was written. This goes back years and years ago. Get people's minds off their government by focusing their attention on athletics, sex, plays, and other trivialities. Is that not today? And so people say, oh yeah, I know it's bad, but how's my team doing? Divide the people into hostile groups. Let me finish this. The people into hostile groups by constantly harping on controversial matters of no importance. Destroy the people's faith in their natural leaders by holding the latter up to contempt, ridicule. Yeah. Always preach true democracy, but seize power as fast and ruthlessly as possible. That's today. These were their goals over 100 years ago. By encouraging government extravagances, destroy its credit. Hello. Produce fear of inflation with rising prices and general discontent. Form unnecessary strikes in vital industries, encourage civil disorders, and foster a lenient and soft attitude on the part of government towards such disorders. Sounds like today, doesn't it? Cause the breakdown of moral virtues, honesty, sobriety, continent, faith in the pledged word, ruggedness. That's today. Cause the registration of all firearms on some pretext with a view to confiscating them and leaving the population helpless. Sounds like they got their goals pretty much accomplished, doesn't it? That's the way it sounds to me. Our overwhelming, what does it do? Here's what it sounds like. Here's what humanism sounds like. I deserve. That's what it sounds like. Okay, you ever hear those words? Here's what it sounds like. My rights. That's humanism. Here's what it sounds like. Me, 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 me. Why? Because I'm a human. Who's it sound like? Well, it sounds like a fellow named Nimrod. Remember Nimrod building the tower so humans could reach heaven? It's kind of what it sounds like to me. And the result is uncaring. Why? Because we're so preoccupied with ourselves. Starts with evolution. It goes right into the evolution as a part of humanism. And it is the worship of man. And the worship eventually of self. And each generation moves further toward that self-worship. And you say, well, preacher, we're all right. The Bible says we're all sinners. That's why Jesus died on the cross. And the total rejection of Jesus is because I'm okay. Some of our soul winners were knocking on doors in wealthy neighborhoods. It's a whole different world. It's a whole different world. You want what? You're doing what? Don't you see? I got a 3-car garage and 3 cars in it and 1 parked outside. I need what? Don't care. We need to get back to all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Apathy, uncaring, unthankful. Because if self has done everything, if we're the measure of all things, why would we need to be thankful for anything? Right? Right. Key words in Romans chapter 1 in the downfall of any nation, any people. And that is, it starts with neither were they thankful. Ungodly. The opposite of righteous, which Psalm 33 says, God loves it. Verse 5, he loveth righteousness. Well, we're the opposite of that. Humanism is the opposite of that because the creature becomes God. The created being is bigger than the creator. Human life, therefore, is not necessarily sacred, so we can kill it before it's ever born. Pornography is everywhere. It's not far from your television set. I'm talking about regular 7 o'clock time. Immorality is everywhere. It's among Christians more than it ever has been. Perversion is everywhere. It's about to be, folks. Honestly, this referendum that was just passed in Adrian, and we're trying to get it repealed, and I'll tell you more about that later, but that referendum, the day is coming, ma'am, where you're in a public restroom and an it is going to walk in. And you're going to think it is a man, but it is going to say it's a woman. and there's not a thing you can do. Amen. I'm just saying that's perversion. Homes are no longer biblical. And verse 5 says, he loveth righteousness. He loveth righteousness. And so it ends up being unchristian. And blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And religions are totally out of whack. Jeremiah, real quick, Jeremiah 5, verse 31. Jeremiah 5, verse 31. The prophets prophesy falsely. The priests bear rule by their means. And my people love to have it so. And what will ye do in the end thereof? It's a form of godliness denying the power thereof. It is, hey, we love God, but we also love ourselves. And we're going to do our own thing. That is not the nation that God blessed and has blessed for many years. The question has to be asked as we move to the next point. But in our present day, after overwhelming humanism, who is the God of America? Who is the God of America? Well, with humanism, we are. And there's no verse in Scripture that says, blessed is the nation whose God is a human. Nowhere. Last thing. Number one, the past, our omnipotent help. Number two, the present, our overwhelming humanism. Number three, the prediction. That is our only hope. Our only hope is this. Proverbs 14, verse 34. And you know the verse, Proverbs 14, 34, but let's look at it. We hear it over and over and over again, and sometimes it's like a broken record. Remember records? Anyway, some of the young people say, broken record, what's that? Anyway, Proverbs 14, verse 34. It's God's word. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. It's always true. What's our only hope? Righteousness. That is our only hope. Thank God he made it possible for us to be righteous. Amen. He sent his son to die on a cross so we could be saved. Righteousness exalteth a nation. Folks, we have to keep giving out the gospel. We have to be a shining light in Lenawee County. We have to be. That is the most important thing that we can do. 1 Peter 4, verse 17. Few verses and we'll be done. 1 Peter 4 and verse 17. The Bible says this. It says, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. That's us. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? I mean, we have to understand that something's got to be done with us. We're the key. 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14. I want to remind you, it starts out, if my people which are called by my name. That's us. That is putting the emphasis on you and I. You know, because we cannot look to the heathen. We cannot look to the unbeliever to change America, to make America go the right way. We cannot look to anyone except where God says we need to look. And he says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. He said, I'm listening. And if you'll do it, I'll hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Don't give up, folks. Let's not give up. Let's not give up on America. Let's not just give in to this thing. Let's understand that we still are his people. And we still can humble ourselves and pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways. And he said he'll hear from heaven. Let's deal with ourselves. Let's also understand the Bible says we are to walk circumspectly. What's that mean? That means watching everything. Walk, look around, watch, read your newspaper, Pay attention to the news. Watch what's going on. Be informed. Be involved. Someone said this, a man who won't use his freedom to defend his freedom doesn't deserve his freedom. Did you get it? A man who won't use his freedom to defend his freedom doesn't deserve his freedom. Vote right, pray right, talk right, have a zeal with knowledge. Because our country is still our country. And it's still blessed. But someday, we have to know, because we've read our Bibles, someday it won't be any longer. Righteousness exalted. We need to get more people saved. We need to keep knocking on doors. We need to keep teaching people. We need to continue our ministries that we have to be soul-winning ministries. I want to remind you, Sodom and Gomorrah was spared for 10, or Sodom and Gomorrah would have been spared had there been 10 righteous people. Are you listening? 10. There might have been 100,000 in Sodom and Gomorrah. We're not sure. But 10, had there been 10. Lot, do you have 10 righteous people? Lot, what in the world have you been doing? 10. Lot, where's the 10? If there's 10. And then the fire fell from heaven and burned up Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm just saying someday that's going to happen to America. And as I told our class in the book of Revelation, it is all just. It will be just. Folks, we need to understand God has blessed our country. He will continue to bless our country as long as we make God the Lord, the God of our country. Isaiah 60:12, and I close, for the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. Till then, God, please bless America. We have a wonderful country. God, let us keep running our buses. God, let us keep going soul winning. God, let us keep praying and walking with you and proclaiming the truth of the gospel. God, please bless America. Let's bow our heads, please. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed.